We spent a lot of time at the Singapore FinTech Festival 2019. It was a packed crowd, queues like you've never believed. 60,000 visitors registered over the course of the 3 days Singapore Expo. And Simon Littlewood and I trudged through the halls, and we thought we'd share a few thoughts on the sorts of trends that we picked up on, Simon, largely to do with lending to SMEs like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, it was massive, even more massive than last year. Six halls, as you say, 60,000 participants, 400 speakers. Modern technology allows lenders to reach out to all sorts of people that previously they were not able to reach out to, whether they be SMEs or individuals. And we saw fintechs, many fintechs, who have set themselves up to do that. But they still have some of the problems that banks and lenders have always had, which is just because you can reach out to somebody doesn't mean you can rely on them to pay you, or even that you can find out how likely they are to be able to pay you. In fact, it's even harder because most of these, nearly all of these, are set up on the basis that you never meet the person you're
That's
lending
right,
to.
Yeah? Because it's all automated. So I guess that was a second trend that we saw this year compared to last year. Last year already we saw a lot of these little platforms that promise to factor your invoice, that lend you cash, you know, by $20,000 overnight at extortionate interest rates. But to your point, the new thing that we saw this year was quite a lot of sites that promised to do some sort of credit scoring, some sort of KYC work, and on occasion drifting into the otherworldly. You know, things like psychometric assessments and things like that.
Yes, I mean, some of them are absolutely fascinating. So, you know, individuals about whom very little is known, because in some cases they don't even have bank accounts. But even for those that do, if you don't have any contact with them, you use all sorts of data, including what you can find in social media, their buying patterns and all those kinds of things, gender profiling, a whole range of things, to try and assess the likelihood that they will pay you back.
You think they'll work?
There's no doubt that there are differences between individuals in terms of how likely they are to pay you back. But the issue is this: as we know, there is a problem that SMEs have, which is that more and more they're getting paid later and later by their customers, which means they actually have less and less money. So they'll pay you if they have the money, but if they don't have the money, they won't be able to pay you.
No matter what the psychometrics say.
It doesn't matter how sophisticated, it doesn't matter whether you've got wonderful AI tools for predicting how they're going to behave in any given situation. If they don't have the money, they can't pay you.
Yes. You know, there was this presentation by Standard Chartered back in Amsterdam at the Global SME Finance Forum in October, where the speaker made reference to the fact that it used to be that as a credit officer, you'd go along to the customer to check out what the factory actually looked like. You didn't want the customer, you know, asking for a loan in your office. You'd want the opportunity to kind of see whether the factory is busy. Are they actually generating turnover? You would be, as the credit officer, you'd be looking out for facial expressions and things like that. And of course, all of that disappears when you do automated assessments online.
Yes, it does. And I mean, that's an issue because experienced lenders have a lot of experience in judging whether or not they're likely to get paid. And there are things I know this from my consulting work. When you go and physically visit a premises, you can see from how it's organized, who's doing what, answers to questions, whether stuff is stacked up properly in terms of inventory, whether it's organized, how organized they seem, how disciplined they seem, and how likely they are to have a good handle on their basic processes. None of those opportunities are now available in the new digital world.
Because it's all automated. So even in those days, the credit officers had to be, sure, good at accounting, right? They'd need to be able to read the P&L. They'd need to be able to make a call on the cash flow statement. But they also needed that human touch to be able to make a call on whether the person sitting opposite asking for a $500,000 loan or whatever was worth the money.
Well, one of the things that AI is trying to do now is replace that human touch with machine learning, which is, you know, how do you behave in a given set of circumstances, given a given set of inputs. What's missing for me in all this, and you won't be surprised to hear me say this, is that none of this really tells you whether or not a small company has got a handle on the basic processes that they need to get paid on time. First of all, starting with their relationship with their customers, and secondly, the level of discipline and quality they have in their order to cash process. all of that is completely invisible to a lender. Yes. So even if you've got the nicest chap in the world with the most wonderful product in the world who looks like a guy you'd really want to do business with, you might even want him to marry your daughter, at the end of the day, he still may not be able to pay you, right?
Yes. And that's especially a problem if he can't pay the dowry.
Yes.
But anyway, back to business. The other thing that struck me about, you know, wandering through those six halls, shoulder to shoulder on occasion, because it was really a very popular event, was that even though there were, once again, so many different little sites, you know, that offered to do receivables, invoice factoring and reverse factoring and all of those things. You know, for example, here's a card that we picked up from Credit Stretcher. Take control of when you get paid. Well, I hate to tell you this, but Credit Stretcher, just like all the others, actually don't help you get paid on time.
No.
And when you then press them, as our staff did, you know, okay, so you want to lend to an SME, you run a platform. What happens if they don't meet your 100 or so point criteria? And then they stand there and shrug their shoulders and say, well, then we won't lend to you. Okay, but how is that solving the SME's problem? So there's a lot of discussion around we have to lend to SMEs, and you know the SMEs are the next big thing, you know, such a huge untapped pie. But there is actually very little effort being made in actually helping the SMEs.
The good news is that because a lot of innovators have stepped in where banks alone used to operate, you've now got opportunities for SMEs to borrow unsecured the money that they need, and at lower interest rates. Remember in Singapore, for example, you'd have to pay 12 to 14% at least if a bank were to lend to you, mm-hmm. and you'd have to put your house up, or your mum's house.
That's right.
Or your sister's house.
Or your uncle's house.
Yeah, so these small, nimble fintechs provide a service where there was no service before. What they do not do is they first have no insight really into whether or not those SMEs are organized to be able to collect their money and therefore pay the interest on the loan and indeed pay the loan back. And none of the automation, the digitalization, the fancy stuff is going to provide that capability, because it all comes back to old-fashioned stuff like relationship and process and discipline. And no one in those six very busy halls was talking about that.
Yes. And of course, we always drone on about having not only the ability to measure whether your customers are going to be able to pay you on time or are going to pay you on time, but doing that in a way that is scalable across a large number of SMEs. And I suppose that's you know, what we came away from the event with, was the sense that there are many SMEs that do need money, no doubt. But because they fall into that bracket of, you know, $500,000 to $3 million in annual sales, they're too large to just keep borrowing from the uncle or to have, you know, personal guarantors in the shape of a brother or a sister. But at the same time, they're too small for the banks or the lenders to spend a lot of time on to really assess them.
Yeah, and they don't have enough accumulated data because they don't have a full set of audited accounts and so on and so forth.
Often still do their accounts on paper or Excel.
Yeah, and we heard anecdotally, and we talked to two different agencies, I recall. One lot said that 20%, I think, or more of applications to borrow money were rejected. Another one said, I think, 40%, was it, or 50%?
Somewhere between 30 and 60%.
Yeah, so very high numbers of these SMEs simply do not get the loans that they want. And I think the thing is that there are so many SMEs, 90% of companies in Southeast Asia are SMEs, that there's enough cheese for all of these lenders to make money, but there are nonetheless a significant number of SMEs that are not able to borrow the money that they need.
Yes. Bottom line, good event to be at, great to get the pulse check. Still lots of sites lending, still lots of sites now offering credit checks, but the fundamental question of how to get paid on time is still the one that needs to be answered. Riabu, of course, we think we have the answer. Follow us on Twitter. Riabu LLP is the Twitter handle. Follow. You can also DM us if you'd like. And share with us your stories. Any final words, Simon?
No, I mean, it's just that this is a gap and that there is an opportunity for those SMEs who cannot currently borrow money by going through a very simple accreditation process to figure out what they need to do differently and then be able to go back to banks and get extremely good financing to help them grow. Yeah.
See you in the next podcast.